Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
You good? You suffer or survive, I should say, Easter? Survived it, ready for continue on. You know, we had a great Easter. If you're in the house, you'd know we Good Friday, Easter Sunday was just jam-packed. I got to tell you, our car park, we're working on it. That's all I can say. Every week just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I think we had about 320 cars all over, up this property, down around, up through the streets and beyond. And it hasn't missed our attention. We are focusing, folks, so we'll come up with a solution. It's a great problem to have, amen? But still, it's a problem, so we'll be working on it. Yeah. It's great to see so many people, wasn't it, honouring Jesus, the sacrifice that he made on the cross, and, of course, celebrating the resurrected life that the empty tomb produced. And on Friday, I spoke about embracing the cross, you know, in our daily lives. The Via Della Rosa was the way of the cross. It was the road that Jesus took that was leading to the cross. But you know, there's another road that leads away from the cross to an empty tomb, which we celebrate the resurrection life of the empty tomb. And I thought this week, the power of resurrection is so important in our lives. The revelation of that, to catch that, will change your life. I thought, you know, you shouldn't just contain it to one Easter service, you know, with resurrection life is so powerful, so integral to where we need to go. And so we're not going to waste it on just one Sunday. We're going to try and keep that resurrection life flowing every Sunday. Amen? That's why we're here. And so I want to take a look at the road from the cross to the empty tomb and the resurrected life. And when you consider the price that Jesus paid, it'd be wrong to just not live this resurrected life to the full. You know, it'd be such a waste. You know, if you're like me, I'm a generous person. You know, I've no doubt about that. But I hate waste. I hate wasting stuff. I'll give it away. I'll give stuff away. If I can bless someone, I'll bless someone. But I hate wasting it. And so this whole resurrection life, you know, we can't waste it. Jesus began this incredible, powerful principle in our lives, and this truth today will liberate us. It'll take us next level if we grab a hold of the revelation today. It'll take us next level. Are you excited about that? Are you ready for that? Do you want that? Amen? That's what we've got, the opportunity before us today. And it'll strengthen us through every situation. Welcome to those at home this morning. Great to have you with us. Let's learn from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Man, if we can catch that revelation. If we can just grab a hold of that revelation, it'll transform our lives. Now, I love the Apostle Paul. I kind of get him because he wasn't a disciple. He never met Jesus in the flesh. He never walked with Jesus. He didn't do 3 years on the journey with Jesus. I mean, he was a persecutor of the church until that day that he met Jesus Christ. And I can affiliate with him because I get, you know, his whole journey. But he met Jesus he didn't meet Jesus in the flesh, but he received two revelations from Jesus. The first one was on the Damascus Road. He discovered Jesus as the Son of God. Bam, knocked him off his horse. You know, he hit the deck. Who are you, Lord? Like, he discovered Jesus as the Son of God. And secondly, he discovered this revelation, that Christ lived in him. That Christ lived in him. And we need to see the evidence of his working in our lives. We need to see the evidence that Christ lives in me. Amen? I mean, that's the challenge. That's the challenge that every believer is on. And so we ask the question, well, how do I know? How do I know if Christ lives in me? I'm going to give you three things today. The first one is, if Christ lives in you, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. In verse 20 there, it says that. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. When the living one enters, the reign of death ceases. Think about that. When the living one enters, the reign of death ceases. John tells us in my favorite scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That's the goal. That's the plan. That's the journey. That's the challenge. Regeneration is the incoming of the life of God through the Holy Spirit. And it's recognizing and accepting that the restorer has arrived to restore the house. Okay, you've got to recognize that, and you've got to accept that, that there needs to be a bit of reno work taking place. Who's ever done some reno? You done some reno? You know what? When the tradesman turns up to do the reno, you let him in, don't you? Because if you don't let him in, he won't be back for 6 months. That's just how tradies work. I'm here now. I'll get it done. If you don't let me, I'm gone, baby. It's over. No, when you're doing some reno work, you've got to let the tradie in. And you must do it now. You can't mess around with this stuff. We've wasted too much time already. Amen? We've got to let the renovator in. Now, we used to have a guy in our church many years ago who restored American classics. Is Stewie here today? Is Stewie here? I think Stewie does a bit of restoration work, don't you, on bikes and cars and stuff. And you know, it's a huge process to take something that's, you know, pretty old and rusted and then cut it all back and then, you know, rebuild it into something absolutely brand new. But you've got to let him do the work. You can't want some renovations done but not allow the tradie in or allow them to do the work. Jesus paid the price for us to be fully restored. Fully restored, amen? Back to the original, better, back to the original design. The reason that we were created before the rust set in. Before the rust took hold. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. That's exciting. The old has gone, the new is here. And this is good news, but you've got to let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. Because it works from the inside out. Let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. The problem is that we kind of grow fairly comfortable with the rust spots. We get so used to the rust spots being there that we kind of become very comfortable with them. And instead of handing them over, you know, to be renoed, to be restored, we kind of tie a pretty ribbon around it and hope that nobody notices. Amen? It's like putting lipstick on a pig. Looks cute, but it's still a pig. And you're only fooling yourself if you think, oh, no one will notice. Everybody notices. Everybody, they're just too nice. They won't tell you. We only fool ourselves. Now I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. It's a brand new start for me. Coming to Christ is a brand new start for me. So I got to surrender all the parts that need to be restored to the Master Restorer. And the parts will come back better than new. But we've got to allow him to do his job. The second thing is that we are a temple of God. We're a temple of God. That's how you recognize that the Restorer has been. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17 says, "Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple." You are that temple. In the Old Testament, we know that God came and dwelled in the Ark of the Covenant when he was among the people. But today God dwells in us by his Holy Spirit to show his glory to the world through you. People got to look at your life and go, man, you are not the same person. I used to know you before. You have changed. You are totally different. Amen? What's that? That's displaying, reflecting the glory of God when the Holy Spirit comes in. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about restoration. Amen? The journey that takes place. You ever watch those shows of the makeovers? You know, where those people, you know, they'd go, they'd disappear for a couple of months and, you know, they'd get fit, they'd lose weight, they'd, you know, get a whole new hairdo and whole new wardrobe and then come back on the presentation night. You know, the big reveal to open up and there's a brand new person right there. Amen? That's what happens to us. That's what happens to us. They come back totally new on the outside. Hardly recognize them sometimes. They're so different. But you know, God does his work from the inside out. God does his work from the inside out. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Folks, this is far bigger. Far bigger than just adding Jesus on to your life. It's far bigger than turning up to church for some religious experience. No, this is a transformation that takes place from the inside out. From the inside out. And the glory of God revealed through you. Who's excited today? Come on, that's good news. Now, you're a little bit hesitant, I know, because you're thinking, if you're like me, you're thinking, flip, there's a lot of restoration got to go in here. How many of you ready for this? This is a mega job right now. But we don't have an option, folks. We don't have an option. Very few have been given the opportunity that you've been given to have Christ dwell in you, to be the temple of God. Can you see how valuable you are to the kingdom of God? Can you see how important it is to catch this revelation today? Because it'll totally change the way we see things, the way we do things, the way we respond. It'll totally change that. We catch the revelation of this resurrected life. It's bigger than just me. I mean, the words we speak have power. They have power to change. They have power to create. And the way I live my life is such an example to the world. It's the only Bible many people will ever read. The third one today is to be governed by His will. Just take a moment, take a breath. This one will rattle you. This one's a toughie. Matthew 26:39 says, going a little further, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." I mean, pretty fresh in our minds, isn't it, after Easter? After going through the whole Easter story and the crucifixion and everything. But when facing death on the cross, He yielded His will to the Father. This is the hardest thing for every believer. It's the hardest thing for every, it's the biggest challenge that you will ever have as a believer, is to yield your will to the will of the Father. It's the biggest challenge. And society ain't helping. Our whole world is geared against you doing that. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, He said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." And in verse 6, it tells us that flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And it's entrenched within our DNA to hold fast to our will. It's entrenched. We were born with that defect, every one of us, since the fall of Adam and Eve. We were born with that defect to hold on to our will and not surrender that to God. It's a huge challenge. I was talking to one of my grandchildren the other day, and they were very unhappy because they didn't get their own way. And I think that child's going to be a lawyer, because the defense was unbelievable at why and how cruel and how wrong it was that they didn't get what they wanted. And I was nearly convinced. And so I had to sit down and say, but, you know, we've got to look at this whole thing, and we've got to think about kindness, and we've got to think about sharing. You know, and we've got to think about, you know, being a bit bigger than just having my way and what I want. And I've got to tell you, it was a hard sell. It was a hard sell. And I'm thinking, I'm glad you're not 40 and still haven't caught hold of this revelation. The surrendering of our will. See, parents, if you've got a strong-willed child, you've got a battle on your hands. You know what I'm talking about? You've got a battle on your hands. Is that a bad kid? No, it's not. You've got a strong will. You've got a strong will. So it's the battle of the wills right now. It's the battle of the will of the parent and the will of the child. And the thing is, for the sake of the child, you've got to win that battle. You've got to win that battle, because that is so strong, so important for the rest of their life. This will show you how to live the resurrected life, surrendering your will to the will of the Father. And Jesus is not an add-on, as I said, and He's not an accessory for living. And Paul, I think in Romans, captioned it, he said, "I must decrease and He must increase." So I must continually have a mindset where I am willing to surrender my will to the will of the Father, who has a greater plan for my life. Who has a greater plan. Every parent here has a greater plan for their child. You just do. Why? Because you love them. You love them so much. And I can tell you, God loves you today so much, and His plan for you is the perfect plan. It's the best plan you will ever live on this planet. But that's His will for you. But unless we surrender our will to that will, We sabotage it. We sabotage it. And it's not living the best life that he has for us. And it's the evidence that Christ lives in me when I have a willingness to surrender my will to his will. And then walk in that journey with him. Because I know that his life for me is the best life that I can possibly live. I think one of the big problems is that we think if we anything with surrender, we lose. We have a mindset that if I surrender something, then I'm going to somehow lose, or I'm going to miss out. But can I tell you, when you surrender to God's will, you only win. You only win. I have proved that. I have gone through that. I've done both ways. I've surrendered my will and not surrendered my will. And I've got to tell you, surrendering your will is a far better deal. It's a far better deal. And we come around, you know, Easter and the whole sacrifice and the empty tomb, and it becomes so real and so vivid in our minds. And a great reminder that if we can just let go and let God, it will work out better in the end. It just will. So I want you to catch that revelation today. Restoration comes from the inside out. Will we surrender unto the Lord today what needs to be surrendered and allow him to do the work, invite him in to do the work that he needs to do so that the restoration be complete, you can be whole, that you can live life and life to the full, which was Jesus' plan for all of us. So take a moment right now. Just close your eyes. Would you do that? Close your eyes and bow your head. I want you to be honest. See, it starts with honesty. We challenge so much stuff. We challenge, you know, people tell us, you know my saying, if 10 people call you a duck, buy flippers. You know, we don't see ourselves as we should. We see ourselves as we want it to be, and it's not always the truth. Take a moment right now and say, Lord, you know what? That price you paid, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get on board with your plan for my life. I'm going to start to surrender some of the things that I know deep down you're not happy with. I know deep down that you know it's not the best for me, and I'm going to surrender that to your will. I want that change, that transformation from the inside out, that I cannot just say the words as a believer or have the knowledge of a believer, but my very life is a reflection that Christ lives in me. That's my witness to the world. That's my witness to the world. And while I've got everyone in the room here today, I want to give some folks here an opportunity to be able to receive that today. We've all had a journey up to today, to this point, to this moment. Some have had a better journey than others, but the sacrifice that Jesus made is a game changer. It's a game changer. And it doesn't matter the journey to this day. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life, what you've done or you haven't done or whatever. That's irrelevant to this point right now. What matters is, if Jesus stretched out his hand to you, would you take a hold of it? If Jesus gave you an opportunity because of the sacrifice that he paid, if he gave you an opportunity for a brand new start, for a brand new life, to be totally restored from the inside out, to experience a relationship with God that would just blow you away. If you were given that opportunity, would you say yes? That's all that matters today. Right where you are, right where you're sitting right now, this isn't a mistake. This isn't coincidence that you're here today. It's a divine appointment. And I believe spiritually Jesus is stretching out his hand right now. Will you take it? Will you say yes? You're sick of the pain. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're looking for a brand new start. Today's your opportunity. If that's you in this room today, and you know, because it's going right through your head right now, you're fighting it. Your will is fighting his will. It's happening. It's happening inside your heart right now. There's a battle that goes on. And I think, why is that? Well, why does that happen? Because it's flesh against spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. The best way to handle that is to surrender and say, yep, that's me. That's me. That's me. Are you here today? What I'll ask you to do is I'll ask you to put your hand straight up so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Lord, you've got to know who you are in a room this size. So just put your hand up. Everyone's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. No one's looking around, so you have privacy. Is that you? Just give me a wave. I'll see it. Where are you today? Come on. Put your hand straight up, straight down, and I'll pray for you today. Don't fight it. Talked about surrender this morning. That's where it begins. You surrender, but you can't lose. Where are you now? Quickly, straight up, straight down. Let me see it. Right across this room. Come on. Don't be shy. Don't withhold. Are you here today? Not one? Last time I'll ask, where are you? Come on. Let me see your hand. Thank you, sir. Come on, there's others. We know that. You can feel the tension in the room. Where are you? The question that God is asking right now, where are you? It's like when he came in the garden and Adam and Eve were separate from him, and Lord, where are you? Where are you? Come on, somebody else, quickly. Hand straight up, straight down. Take this opportunity. May not happen again. Take it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Quickly. Cool. Okay, sir, would you like to come and I'll pray for you? Would that be all right? Bring somebody with you, a friend, somebody with you. Come on down. Come on, put your hands together. This is a great decision.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.